God of mercy, God of grace, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house and to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that is with us today, teaching us, showing us your truth. And now we ask, O Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate your truth to us. Help us to learn something that we will take with us into our daily lives, something that will change us to make us more like you. Thank you for hearing our prayers, and now speak to us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. The scripture reading this morning, the first scripture reading is taken from Psalm 48. Now we'll read the entire chapter. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, if you would follow with me in your Bibles. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth, Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great King. Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress. For behold, the kings assembled, they came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there. Anguish as of a woman in labor. By the east wind, you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. Think, reflect. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Number her towers. Consider well her ramparts. Go through her citadels that you may tell the next generation that this is God. Our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. And the second scripture reading is 2 Samuel chapter 5. I'll read from verse 1 to 5 and then verses 9 and 10. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Behold, we are your bone and flesh. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you who led us out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. Verse 9. And David lived in the stronghold and called it the City of David. And David built the city all around from the Milo inward. And David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him." This is the word of the Lord. You may see a running theme here in the two passages that we read. And it has to do with the city of David, Jerusalem, which many people really don't consider, but it was considered at that time a stronghold or a garrison. Can anybody here tell me what a garrison is or a stronghold is? I want to hear from you. Does anyone know what a stronghold is?
Your defensive fort.
It's a fort, a defense, yes. It's a place, well, very simply put, it is a place that is very hard to get into, and it is very hard to get out of that place if you're in there. And of course, strongholds were used particularly for war purposes. Now, I'm from Jamaica, and the word garrison means something, similar but different to us. We used to have a lot of corruption in our politics. And what would happen is particular political parties would have communities that had allegiance only to them. And they would set up what were called garrisons or strongholds, where everyone in that community should vote for one political party. Sounds awful, doesn't it? But it happened. And it's in certain parts of the urban area in Kingston in Jamaica, you still do have these strongholds. And these were places where if you did not belong to a particular political party, it was very dangerous for you to go in there. And chances are if you went in there, especially with a political slant, you might not come out. It was that serious. Strongholds can be a good thing, and strongholds can also be a very bad thing, depending on who's the general in the stronghold. And this is kind of what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about garrisons. I want to talk about strongholds. But I want to put it in this particular vein. I want to talk about spiritual strongholds, spiritual garrisons, things that cannot be seen, but are established deep within us and affect our spiritual life in negative ways. Let me give you an example. Laziness can be a stronghold. Do you know that? Laziness, not applying yourself or properly structuring your time, it can keep you from fulfilling God's purposes for your life. Certain forms of sin can distract us from the things that can keep us moving forward, living a good and productive life. And the thing is, when the devil knows that there are particular struggles in our lives, he will set up these strongholds in us, places where we can't go and easily tear down, places that we can't go into and immediately get rid of our problems. Some of us struggle with things for many years because inside in our lives we have these spiritual strongholds. And I want to talk a little bit about how people respond to strongholds, how people respond to garrisons in their lives. And I want to use the example of David's predecessor. His name was Saul. Some of you may have heard of him. He had a lot of potential as king of Israel. But because of his approach to strongholds, he failed. I'll give you just a background. I want to encourage you, if you get the chance, read 1 Samuel chapter 13 and 14 and learn a lot about what Saul went through. But I'll give you some background. Saul, he was the first king of Israel. The Bible describes him as a man that was, he looked like a king. He stood heads above everyone else. He had the kind of pedigree, he had the look. But God had given Saul an instruction early in his reign. He said to Saul, listen, if you're going to be successful, do as I say. And the first thing I want you to do is I want you to get the enemies of Israel out of the land. I want you to get them out by any means necessary, military or otherwise. But he dragged his feet. He was lazy. And guess what happened? The enemies of Israel multiplied and they began to set up these strongholds in the hill country. Now, if you know anything about war, you know that the person who has the high ground has the advantage. And the enemies of Israel went into the high ground and they set up these huge strongholds, these huge garrisons, and the Israelites could not go up there and take these strongholds. In fact, what happened in one of the stories is Saul went up to take one of these garrisons with 3,000 men. And down the hill comes 30,000 chariots and men and women and warriors of the Philistines to attack Israel. And here's where we see the first response to garrisons. Guess what the Israelites did when they saw these troops? The Bible says they ran and they hid. They ran and they hid. And the Bible describes the places that they hid. They hid under rocks. They hid in cisterns. Do you know what a cistern is? A cistern is a pot. Now, it's kind of comical to think about it, that, you know, an enemy is coming after you and you go hide in a pot hoping for the best. But unfortunately, that is what a lot of us do. When we have these spiritual garrisons, these spiritual struggles in our lives, instead of facing them head on, we say, you know what? This is too difficult for me. This is too big. This is too big of an issue, too big of a struggle for me. I cannot deal with it. I'm just going to hide this one out. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to take it on. It is what it is. And we know what happens when we ignore our struggles. They only become worse and worse and worse. Saul was given an instruction by God. Saul had also received empowerment by Almighty God. But he trusted what he saw more than what he heard from God. God has given us overcoming power in our lives over the spiritual struggles that we face. Power beyond our dreams. And many of us are unable to tap into that power simply because we look at our struggle and say, oh, that's just too big for God. And because Saul did this, and the people of Israel did this, they found themselves in a situation where their enemies now had the advantage. I had a dear friend who was working with the military in Jamaica. And he would tell me about operations that they would do. And he told me about a time when he was doing an operation. And literally, he was in a Humvee, and he literally heard the bullets flying by his head. Now, for most of us, if you sense at all that a bullet is flying by your head, what is your first reaction?
Yeah.
Duck! You're gonna duck. So I said, didn't you duck? He said, no, you never duck. I said, what? You never duck? He says, no. You must always know where your enemy is. Because when you don't know where your enemy is that you are at a severe disadvantage. And I never thought of that. It's true. But it takes someone who is brave to keep their head up when those bullets are flying by. And in a sense, that is what I think God is saying to you today and to me today. When we are prone to hide from our problems, he's saying to us, be brave. Be brave. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I will empower you against these enemies of your soul. I will give you what you need to be able to overcome. So our first reaction sometimes is to hide. Our second reaction sometimes is to do what the Israelites did. After Saul saw these troops, these chariots coming down the hill, he went back to his original location with his 6,000 men. And guess what Saul did? He began to do a census. He began to count the troops. Isn't that strange? In the midst of war, Saul decides to go back to where he started and count the troops, like he didn't know he had 6,000 troops. Why do you think he did that? It's a question that always bothered me. I'm going to guess, because I'm a human being too. I'm a man. I know how prone we are to do this. You know, sometimes when we have something to do and we find that that thing is overwhelming, we tend to go into maintenance mode. We tend to kind of do things that are not directed towards the issue that we face, but we tend to do things that bring us a certain amount of comfort. Isn't that true? For some of us, we go eat. For some of us, we go hang out with friends. For some of us, we just get lazy and watch TV. You know, we find things to do that give us almost a sense of distraction and peace in the midst of a terrible situation. And I believe in some respects this could have been what Saul was doing. Saul was saying, you know what? I'm not ready to face these chariots coming down the hill. You know what? Instead, I'm just going to focus on what we got. Let's just make sure that everybody's safe. Let's make sure everybody's okay. And let's just sit here until I figure out what to do next. But you know, we laugh at Saul, but many of us are like Saul, especially when it comes to the strongholds. You know, you may have prayed to God and said, God, please, please help me to overcome this problem, this struggle that I'm having. And he does not immediately come down and zap the problem away. And so what we do is we say, okay, it's not working just yet, so let me go distract myself with something else. Let me not focus on that problem. Let me do something else. And as we are focusing on this other thing, the problem becomes worse and worse. A big example of this is when I was in school. When you have these huge 15-page papers, 20-page papers, 25-page papers that you have to do, and you look at the subject matter and you say, oh my goodness, I know I have to eventually do this before the deadline, but let me just put it off until tomorrow. But let me put it off until the next day, and let me just focus on, I don't know, football, basketball, something else, anything else, just to make myself feel not so overwhelmed by this. And then the night before, here comes this issue, and it looks 10 times bigger than it was, because I've been trying to ignore it and distracting myself with other things. But guess what? Just because you distract yourself with other things doesn't mean the problem is going away. In fact, many times the problem becomes greater. Isn't that true? It happens. And so trying to maintain is in no way a remedy to the issues and problems and strongholds that we face. But thirdly and finally, and I'll close with this, the third reaction is the reaction I would love for us all to have. It was the reaction of Saul's son. His name was Jonathan. If you read in 1 Samuel chapter 14, Jonathan says, he looks at the stronghold and he says, hey guys, why aren't we going up there? Why aren't we going up? Let's go. And Saul and the rest of the generals are down there waiting. Jonathan is saying, let's go. God said, go. Let us go up and take this stronghold. And if you read the story, you find it is a story of miraculous grace. Because instead of 6,000 men going up that hill, only Jonathan and his armor bearer choose to go up the hill. And the story goes like this. The Philistines see Jonathan and his armor bearer coming up the hill. And they said, is this a joke? One man against this stronghold? Please come up here. Please come up. And we're going to send your head rolling back down the hill. They threatened him. And yet still Jonathan walked. He climbed and he made it up to the top of that stronghold. And then the Bible describes one of the most miraculous events in Scripture. One of the least talked about events in Scripture. The Bible says, when Jonathan stood on that stronghold, when he took one step, the Bible says 20 men fell. And Jonathan and his armor bearer alone destroyed the entire stronghold of the Philistines. The Bible says that the Philistines were put to confusion and they began to fight against each other. And when all was said and done, instead of 6,000 men taking that stronghold, it only took two. You see, in obedience to God, in confronting the stronghold, Jonathan was not allowed to deal with it in his own power. He had access to a power that was greater than him. But he would only see that power once he got to the top. And many of us, I think we believe in God, we trust in God, we know that God is able to do anything. However, we kind of want God to prove something to us. We want him to say to us, hey, look, I'm going to show you my power before you obey me. And sometimes all God is saying to us is simply, obey me and you will see my power. Do what I ask you to do and then you will see my deliverance. Confront that issue. Confront that problem. And you will see God come through in a way that you could never imagine. You can either hide, maintain, or confront. And I think what God is saying to us today is simply this. If you have garrisons, issues in your life that you are not dealing with, spiritual struggles, deal with them head on. Confront them in the power of God, in the power of his word, and watch him work a miracle that you could never imagine. Does this sound good? Sound like something we can do? Amen.
Amen.
At this time, we'll have the announcements.